Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul wrote, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me." As you come to this part of Paul's letter, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, once again, we look to you for you to apply these words to our lives. Not just an old-timey letter that Paul wrote to some people in Philippi, but, Lord, a letter that you wrote to us to help us grow in our walk. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. From the beginning of this chapter, Paul's given a very high bar for Christians to reach, or to reach for. For that matter, turn back to the first four verses of chapter 2. Turn back to Philippians chapter 2, the first four verses, the opening of this chapter. Paul wrote to all the Christians in Philippi, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Be one in spirit and purpose." As we've seen throughout this part of Philippians, spiritual unity is of utmost importance for Christians, for the church. But the only way for unity in the church and for success in serving God is to have a submissive mind towards God. The only way to have unity is to have submission, a submissive mind. So after giving this formula for spiritual unity, Paul then gave a description of a submissive mind as seen in the actions of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He began by writing in verse 5, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And then after describing Jesus' humility and submission and obedience, Paul turned to his own experiences to demonstrate a submissive mind and joy that accompanies it. In verse 17 of chapter 2, Paul wrote, "But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you." And Paul finished that challenge to his readers by writing, "So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." But Paul and the Holy Spirit knew that after all of this, some people are going to say things like, you know, it's impossible for ordinary people to follow such examples as Jesus Christ or Paul. I mean, Jesus was the Son of God. Paul was a chosen apostle who was exceptional in so many ways. So with this in mind, Paul introduced two ordinary people who were not super apostles or spectacular miracle workers. Paul wanted everyone to know that the submissive mind isn't possible just for the chosen few, for the special ones. A submissive mind and the unity that follows is a necessity for Christian joy. and is an achievable goal for all believers. Basically, he was saying, you can do it. Paul gave two examples of ordinary people, beginning with Timothy. Paul probably met Timothy when he came to Timothy's hometown of Lystra, on his first missionary journey. It's recorded in Acts chapter 14 if you want to go there later on today. And it was probably during this visit that Timothy was saved. But there is more in Timothy's life than just Paul. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, beginning verse 3. Writing to Timothy, Paul writes, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, that's night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm persuaded now lives in you. Both Timothy's mother and grandmother were believers, and they had instructed Timothy in the scriptures, which at that point in time was just the Old Testament. Later, when Paul returned to Lystra and Derbe on his second missionary journey, Acts 16 records that at the suggestion of the church leadership there, Paul made Timothy part of his missionary team. And by the time Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, Timothy had been Paul's almost constant companion for about 10 years. Paul considered this young man, Timothy, to be his own dearly beloved son in the faith. Looking at Timothy's experience, it's obvious that a submissive mind is not something that suddenly, automatically appears in the life of a believer. Timothy had to develop and cultivate the mind of Christ. He didn't become part of the team as soon as he was saved. He needed training in the scripture from those around him. And he needed some on-the-job training, which he got as he served in Lystra, and then as he worked with Paul. Through it all, he became the kind of servant that Paul could trust and that God could bless. Paul gave some characteristics of this young man with a submissive mind. First, he had a servant's mind. Allowing himself to be filled with the Holy Spirit and God's love, Timothy developed an agape love for people and was concerned about their needs. Paul wrote, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Timothy wasn't interested in winning friends and influence people. He was generally interested in the welfare of others, in their physical and their spiritual welfare. Paul was concerned about the church at Philippi and wanted to send someone to demonstrate his concern and to just get the facts about what's happening. But from those that were available at that time, there was nobody to send from the believers in Rome. As we read that Paul wrote, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But having the same attitude as Christ Jesus, Timothy had humbled himself, and he cared for others. He was concerned about their needs. This was a servant's mind, having concern about others' needs. Sadly, many of the believers in Rome were so caught up in themselves and their own internal struggles that they had no time for the important work of God. Disunity in the church takes time and energy and concern away from the things that matter the most. And Timothy wasn't interested in supporting any one side or another. Having the same attitude as Christ Jesus, Timothy cared for others and was concerned about their needs. This was a genuine concern, a natural concern. This concern, this submissive mind came over time. And it came kind of because of the second characteristic. He had a servant's training. Again, Paul didn't enlist Timothy as part of the team the same day that he was saved. Paul left Timothy in Lystra to become part of the church fellowship there. It was in that fellowship that Timothy grew in spiritual matters, as well as being taught by his mother and his grandmother. Through it all, he learned how to serve the Lord. So when Paul returned to that area after a couple of years, Acts 16:3 says that the Christians at Lystra spoke well of Timothy. After allowing Timothy to get some basic instructions, At the right time, Paul called Timothy, who was still a rather young man, to work with him on his missionary tours. During the times of travel and ministry, Paul continued Timothy's education in the Scriptures and modeled a submissive mind to him. Paul gave personal instruction along with on-the-job experience. Paul wrote about this back in 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 10, Paul wrote, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Timothy had been there. He'd seen it. Experience without teaching can lead to discouragement. Teaching without experience can lead to spiritual deadness. It takes both to grow, teaching and experience. And Timothy had a servant's training. And finally, he had a servant's reward. He had a servant's reward. Having spent years with Paul, Timothy knew the meaning of the sacrifice and service that Paul wrote about back in Philippians 2, verse 17. Timothy had proved himself. And just as he did for Paul, God rewarded Timothy for his faithfulness. To begin with, Timothy had the joy of helping others. Obviously, there were hardships and difficulties. Traveling itself was a hardship back in those days, but there were also victories and blessings. Because Timothy had the joy of a submissive mind, and he'd been a good and faithful servant, faithful with a few things, God rewarded him with many things. He had the joy of working with the Apostle Paul. He's mentioned at least 24 times in Paul's letters. He's also sent as Paul's representative, as a troubleshooter sometimes, to help troubled churches and the issues that were affecting them. Paul wanted to go to Philippi, but since he was all tied up, actually he was chained up, he sent Timothy instead. Timothy wasn't only Paul's spiritual son and Paul's servant. He was also Paul's substitute. But I think the greatest reward on earth that God gave Timothy was he chose him to be Paul's replacement as one of the major leaders of the church when Paul lost his life. Timothy, an ordinary man like you and me. And then Paul gave another example of an ordinary man with a submissive mind, a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was a member of the Philippian church. He risked his health and his life to carry their missionary offering to Paul in Rome. He had the heart of a servant, going willingly to Rome to help Paul in any way he could for as long as he was needed. Paul gave three characteristics of this Christian from Philippi. First, he was a well-rounded Christian. He was a well-rounded Christian. Paul called him my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. Balance is important in a Christian's life. Some people so emphasize fellowship, that is, being a brother, they forget to spread the gospel. Others are so busy defending the faith of the gospel as a fellow soldier that they neglect building fellowship with other believers. Epaphroditus didn't fall into any of these traps. He was a well-rounded Christian. Second, he was a concerned Christian. He was a concerned Christian. Like Timothy, Epaphroditus was concerned about others. To begin with, he was concerned about Paul. When he heard in Philippi that Paul was a prisoner in Rome, he volunteered to take the long, dangerous trip to Rome, to stand at Paul's side and to assist him, to take care of his needs. He also carried the church love gift with him, protecting it with his life. Epaphroditus was not content simply to contribute to the offering. He gave himself to help carry that offering. But this man is also concerned for his own home church. As we read, after arriving in Rome, he became very ill. In fact, Paul wrote that he almost died. And somehow the church learned of this illness. And Epaphroditus was concerned, distressed over their concern for him. Epaphroditus wasn't burdened or concerned about himself. He was concerned about the people in Philippi because they were worried about him. He didn't look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Like Timothy, he knew the meaning of sacrifice and service, which are two marks of the submissive mind. And third, he was a Christian blessing. He was a Christian blessing. Epaphroditus was a blessing to Paul. He supported Paul in his prison experience and did not even allow his own sickness to hinder his service. I expect that he and Paul must have spent some evenings together reminiscing about Philippi and serving God together again now in Rome. He was a blessing to his own church. Paul told the church to welcome him back with great joy and honor because of his sacrifice and service. And after Jesus emptied himself and coming to die on the cross, God exalted him. And now Epaphroditus sacrificed himself with no thought of reward. And Paul encouraged the church to hold him in honor to the glory of God. And I think in some respects, he's a blessing to us today as well. He demonstrates that the joyful Christian life is a life of sacrifice and service. And he proves that the submissive mind really is possible for all Christians, not just a special few. The submissive mind is not the product of an hour's worship service or even a week's seminar. The submissive mind will go each one, like it did for Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul, if you daily humble yourself and yield to God. The examples of Epaphroditus and Timothy encourage Christians to submit ourselves to the Lord and one another in the Spirit of Christ. Going back to reading verses 3 and 4 from Philippians 2 from a different translation, it says, "Don't be jealous or proud, but be humble. Consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves." This is an attainable goal for every Christian. Paul wrote, "You can do it." Such a commitment should be the norm for all Christians, not just for the chosen few. Jesus Christ is the pattern we all can follow. As Peter wrote way back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." A submissive mind means losing one's life in order to find it. Jesus challenged in Luke chapter 9, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." But be warned, as Jesus said so many times, a divided commitment to the gospel is actually no commitment at all. Have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Be humble, submissive, and obedient to God's will. And then when you stand before God, you, like Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome home." Let's pray. Lord, I prayed last week. We're in a culture where we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I can do it my own way. But Lord, as Christians, we need to unlearn our culture. We need to learn your way. We need to walk as you would have us to walk. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves to you. Help us, Lord, to be humble, to be submissive and obedient to your will, and to make you proud of us. And help us to be a testimony to those around us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.